Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. It's estimated that 500,000 teens with autism will enter adulthood over the next decade. That's 50,000 each year that will age out of school-based services. Statistics show 90% of adults with autism are not employed full-time, and more than 80% of young adults live in the family home. It's often a full-time job for a parent to care for an adult with a child with autism. So what happens to adults with autism as their parents age and are no longer able to care for them? What options are there for adults with autism who want to live outside the family home and be more engaged with the community? Until recently, there weren't many residential options for adults with autism living on the Cape. That's changed in the last decade thanks to the hard work of two organizations. Later in the hour, we'll talk with the founder of Forward and their new affordable housing development for adults with autism. But first, we welcome Bob Jones to the program. He and his wife, Lauren, are the founders of Cape Cod Village. Good to see you, Bob.
Hi, Mindy.
So I was looking back, I think 2014, we had our first conversation on the air about Cape Cod Village. So for those who aren't familiar, give us a background of why you founded Cape Cod Village, where this idea came from.
Sure. My wife, Lauren, and I are parents of Alexander, who is now a 31-year-old man with severe autism. We were concerned about his future, what would happen when we weren't around, where would he live, how would he live. So we got together with some other parents who had children with autism who shared, our same concerns, and we decided to put our concerns into action and thought housing, a place to live, was number one on the agenda. We sat down with these other folks. We developed a nonprofit called Cape Cod Village and set out about to construct affordable housing for adults with autism.
And it sounds kind of like a no-brainer, but it's not quite that easy. There's a lot of hoops and regulations and things you have to go through to actually make this work.
Yeah, we had no idea what we were going to get into at the time. Sometimes I jokingly say, I'm not sure I would have done this if I had known. However, you learn about bureaucracy. You learn about regulations. You learn about fundraising. Mm-hmm. You learn about recruiting people. So it's a pretty complex web.
Yeah, and it's really frustrating. I know as all these parents came together, there weren't a lot of options. I mean, it's kind of like, what do we want for our kids, right? I mean, you had to really kind of think about, well, do you want them in a group home? Do you want it? I mean, it's so limited, and you want your kids to have the best life they can have.
Yeah, the options were limited and still are limited. Curiously enough, I became familiar with autism and behavioral health back in 1965, and I worked for 5 years at a state institution for people that were then called mentally retarded. And firsthand, I got an idea of the one option that was – well, there were two options. That was institutionalization or living at home mm-hmm. with parents, and that was it. But in the 1970s, things began to change, and we began to see movement towards community-based services. And when we got involved, the options were a group home. And some of the group homes are wonderful, but for our population, they left a little bit to be desired. And our experience was that oftentimes folks in those group homes tended to be isolated, removed from their communities, and their lives were pretty circumscribed by living in a house. So the two things that sort of propelled us forward were the notions of community integration and inclusion. And those are really slightly different subjects. Community integration is a physical concept. It's actually bringing people into the community to integrate them. Inclusion, however, is about participation. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you integrate people into the community, but then how do you include them once they're there? How do you participate? So when we designed Cape Cod Village, we designed it, it's four houses. There'll be a total of 16 people living there. And initially we had something that we were calling a commons building. It was a small building on the site. Where we thought the folks who were living there could all get together for at evening time, maybe have a meal together, socialize, and also it'd be a place where some people from the community could come in and get to meet our folks that were living there. And then that would help build some sort of a bridge into the larger community. And one of the things that we wanted to do was to make sure that we were geographically integrated into the community. We had had a couple of opportunities to locate our project in areas that were a little bit remote, but what we wanted was to be right in the center of a town where our folks were could walk to whatever they wanted, where they would be visible, where the community would be visible to them. So we were very, very fortunate in that we found a four-acre parcel right in the center of Orleans. It is literally in the center of town.
Yeah. So what kind of modifications are made to the design or construction of the residence to create the best environment for these folks?
That was really an exciting part of this project. There's been some great changes by some architects who have gotten together with clinical people and family members to address the very specific housing needs of people with autism. And those needs center around the notion of sensory integration. And your other guest, Jim Sperry, who's sitting here, can really talk about this.
All right, let's bring Jim Sperry into the conversation. He's with NEEDS, Northeast Educational and Developmental Support Center, which staffs the residents at Cape Cod Village and others. So welcome.
Yeah. Thank you, Mindy.
So tell us a little bit about what Bob's talking about.
Yeah, so as Bob mentioned, he and his group were really instrumental in pulling together Cape Cod Village, getting the land in Orleans, getting the homes built, and they've done a fantastic job with all of that. We're going to be the service provider. So we'll be providing the services and supports to the people who will be living in the program. And our organization is called the NEEDS Center. We began providing services back in 2014, so we're a relatively new company. Paula Yarbrough and myself are the co-founders. Similar to Cape Cod Village, we're a 501c3 nonprofit. We had a lot of hoops to jump through to get to be able to provide services as well. But we were a number of people who had about 30 years experience working with people with autism and developmental disabilities, and we wanted to just approach things in a little bit of a different way. And Bob mentioned community integration, community involvement, and it's really also community membership. So it's not just being in the community and being seen, but it's, you know, being a real part of the community, being accepted and accepting others. And that's something that really drew us to this project with Bob, because we sometimes group homes get a bit of a bad rap if they're sort of most of the services are happening within the home. For us, we're very community forward. We're out in the community on a daily basis, and it's not just going out for rides or going out and doing things. It's also just really giving back, you know, volunteering, being a member of the community. So,
So NEEDS helped with the design of Cape Cod Village. So what are some of the considerations that were important, you know, like size, design, you know, what were some of the things you go ahead?
Yeah, the design was really a combination. This is sort of one of the, again, exciting parts. There were three participant groups. There were BLFR, our architects. There was NEEDS, who provided the clinical expertise, and then the families and parents at Cape Cod Village. The major thing that we had to deal with and wanted to confront was the notion of this issue of sensory integration. Mm-hmm. People with autism can get very, very easily overstimulated by things like sound, light, the kind of things that most of us, when our senses take those things in, our brain is somehow able to process them in a way that we're comfortable with. But for people with autism, often that's not the case. So that lighting, fluorescent lighting, a lot of lighting can be just incredibly disturbing to them. Loud sounds, sound transmissions can be really upsetting. So the design was put together to mitigate that problem of sensory integration.
Yeah.
We have all of the floors are insulated to dampen sound. All of the walls, you would look and you would say, oh, that's sheetrock. Well, it's not regular sheetrock that's on the walls. It's all very, very special material that absorbs sound. Mm. All of the lighting is very special lighting. It's all LED lighting to mitigate any intrusion by lighting that might be offensive. One of the really sort of famous people in our field, and you know Steve, he has a PhD, and he wears a baseball cap whenever he goes inside because of the lighting. And this is a guy with a PhD, and he has a good sense of humor about it. And he said, I couldn't sit in this room without my baseball cap blocking that kind of lighting. So that that's a big piece of the
lot to consider in this.
Yeah. I mean, people with autism, as Bob said, they don't process the environment the same way that you or I might, and things that might seem kind of innocuous to us, but noises or lights
can really be
disruptive for them and dysregulate.
So we have many, many adults with autism looking for housing, and I'm sure there's a great demand for the residents here at Cape Cod Village. You mentioned it's going to be 16 units. What's the application process? Who are the people that will be able to move in?
So we're partnering in with the Department of Developmental Services, the local area office here. So the way that it works is people who are interested in Cape Cod Village, they reach out to their DDS mm-hmm. service coordinator or contact, and then those people will then contact us about the process. So the project is coming up soon. We'll be opening sometime in January. But it really flows through the local DDS area.
So you don't have your 16 residents picked out yet?
No, not yet.
All right. So we have, different needs as kids or young adults with autism. Some require assistance 24 hours a day. Others can live independently or with just a few hours of assistance. So how is the village designed to meet this wide range of needs?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the people that will be living at Cape Cod Village basically fall on the severe end of the autism spectrum. So Jim's group is going to provide staffing that's going to be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. The folks living there, they need assistance with almost all of the activities of daily living.
Are they verbal?
Some are. Most aren't. Mm-hmm. And even the ones that are, their capacity to verbalize is it's somewhat limited. However, it doesn't mean that they don't communicate.
Right, right.
I'll give you an example. My son Alexander really doesn't talk much, but he tries to. He loves to communicate. And what he's been able to do is he's taught himself how to type on an iPad, and he's a master of typing now. He types a lot faster than I do. He does it with two fingers, but he types fast. So there's a drive to communicate on the part of everyone I've ever known with autism. Some sign. Mm-hmm. One of the young women that I think may live at Cape Cod Village uses ASL. Mm-hmm. It's remarkable, their capacity to communicate, even though they can't verbalize.
Yeah. So, Jim, you'll have a...
Yeah, I was just going to mention that's something that we do with our staff. We teach them multimodal communication so that people who communicate verbally will be able to interact with them, people who have sign language as their primary mode of communication. And also a lot of people do use electronic devices, iPads, iPhones for communicating. So there's a lot of training that goes into the staff members mm-hmm. to make sure that they can understand the people working with them and that they can be understood by the people who they're working with. So we do a lot of work around communication and a lot of what you might call antecedent management, sort of setting up the environment so people will be successful. And a lot of that is communication-based.
Mm-hmm. So, and are they paying rent? How does this work?
So the way it works is that the Department of Developmental Services funds the project. So the individuals themselves aren't paying rent, but they do contribute their benefits to the Needs Center as an offset to the DDS funding. But the majority of the funding comes from the State Developmental Services Division.
Yeah, I'm just thinking there's some parents who have made, especially if they have a child with severe autism, they've been so focused on caring for the child, that a lot of times they haven't really looked out at what kind of resources are out there to help financially, right?
True.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a challenge for families. But we're fortunate in that the Commonwealth has a very, forward-looking Department of Developmental Services. Yeah. They've been great to deal with as a parent group. Initially, they were – I have to say this, listening, and they were kind of skeptical of our project.
Oh, you can understand why, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we were proposing something that hadn't been done.
Yeah. And now it can be a model for others.
And now it can be a model.
And I have to say, I was a little skeptical myself.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't sure that it would be doable, but with Cape Cod Village's perseverance. And really, the area office and Rick Kavicki, who's the area director, has been phenomenal to work with just supporting the project.
We had to go out and, Mindy, raise $7 million for this project.
And you did.
And we did. And it's a combination of private giving, state money from the Department of Housing and Community Development. We have a $2 million grant through them. $3 million from the United States Department of Agriculture, about $1.5 million of private giving. And here's one of the really cool pieces. This is technically an affordable housing project. Mm-hmm. I don't want to bore people out there with affordable housing issues, but it's so important. There's something called a Community Preservation Act that allows towns to fund affordable housing through basically a surtax that's placed mm-hmm. on the sale of property. And our project qualifies as affordable housing. Well, what usually happens is one town, the town where the project is located, will sometimes donate money through the Community mm-hmm. Preservation Act to that project. We conceived of our project as being regional. It's going to serve people from the whole right. Cape Area, greater area. So we went around to not just the town of Orleans, which was incredibly generous and donated close to $500,000 to us, but we went around to the other towns, particularly in the Lower Cape area. Mm-hmm. And together, six other towns have donated community preservation. And it's the first time in Massachusetts on an affordable housing project that that's ever happened.
Wow. You're listening to The Point, and we are talking about housing and services for adults with autism. With us in studio is Bob Jones, one of the co-founders of Cape Cod Village, and Jim Sperry. He is with NEEDS Northeast Educational Development Support Center. 866-999-4626 is our number if you have a comment or a question. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. So Cape Cod Village also includes this community building that you're talking about. So how is that space going to be used, Jim?
So for us, for NEEDS Center, we're a separate organization from Cape Cod Village. So we'll be leasing a space within that community building, and we'll have our offices set up there. We'll probably do a lot of trainings for our staff because we're really focused on training, and we'll also offer trainings to the local community as well. But the rest of the building is really in Bob's purview.
Mm-hmm. The building is now it's a 3,400 square foot building. It's designed to provide recreational, educational, social activities for people, not just at Cape Cod Village, but from the larger community. Again, we started receiving calls from families in the community saying, we have an adult child with autism or intellectual and developmental disabilities, and they really don't need residential services, but what they do need is an opportunity to participate in activities with other people. They tend to be isolated. They live at home. And we're wondering, can they participate in Cape Cod Village? So our board decided, okay, let's expand that little commons building that I mentioned, and we turned it into Community Resource Center. So folks from Cape Cod Village will be welcome to come to the Community Resource Center just about any time they choose to.
Yeah. So, you know, adult services for those who have autism can be expensive. Are there state or federal programs that are going to help defray some of the costs of this? We talked about the housing element, but as far as the programs are.
Yeah, so the services themselves are funded by the department. So they're funded directly by the Commonwealth. We're a nonprofit vendor to the state, so that we have contracts with the state of Massachusetts, and those are funded. It's a process. Before you turn 22, if you have a child with special needs, they have what's called an entitlement program, educationally based. But after you turn 22, it's really based on availability. Mm-hmm. And there's an assessment process to see the level of need that a person may have. So varying levels of need would result in varying levels of funding. The project that we're speaking of today with Cape Cod Village is you would need what's called a priority one status for residential placement, which is, as Bob mentioned, we'd be working with people with more severe needs.
Right.
But that is directly funded by the state of Massachusetts.
Go ahead, Bob.
The programming I was referring to at the Community Resource Center, we're going to be raising money for that. That's mm-hmm. all going to be independently funded.
Right.
So we are busy right now writing grants,
yeah.
soliciting funds.
This is another experiment, right? You started this Cape Cod Village and thought, and so this is an experiment where you're not only going to be having the residents of Cape Cod Village, but other members of the community of all kinds of variety, right?
Right. It's an adventure. Again, we're out there and people in the community will be hearing from us as we, you know, we're a nonprofit and Jim's group is a nonprofit. And we don't have anything to sell to make money on.
Right.
It's services. That's what we offer.
Yeah. In terms of the community center, We really, as an organization and the people we'll be supporting, probably won't be using that for our community activity because we're going to be out in Orleans. We're going to be out in the surrounding areas being members of the
community. So talk about some of the things, the programs that you would be overseeing with these residents.
Yeah, so we'll be working with people in their homes, and we'll be providing one of the terms is activities of daily living. So we take a person who comes to us, either if they've turned 22 or if they're a little older than that, we'll do a thorough assessment of their current skill level, areas of need that they might need to work on, and we'll work with them around those areas. Some of them may have some behavioral challenges. Some may just need some help with cooking, cleaning, finances, communication. But we assess that. We do a thorough assessment of the person. Then we come up with plans around skill development. But we also are really focused on quality of life for people. So it's not so much just teaching new skills. It's, you know, having the kind of life that we all enjoy, mm-hmm. that, you know, you're out in the community, you go off and you take nice vacations. We work with people with severe challenging behaviors who have gone with our staff on cruises to Bermuda. You know, we go out and do a lot of really exciting things. And really, the people we work with are out and about and doing the same sort of things that we do. And nowadays, unfortunately, there's so many people being diagnosed with autism. Everybody knows someone mm-hmm. with autism, it seems. But in a way that helps us because we're not as stigmatized when you're out in the community. People understand, oh, you know, my neighbor has a son with autism, and that must be what this situation is.
We're not hiding these kids.
Exactly. It's not like what Bob mentioned back in the day where folks went to institutions to be separate. They're really part of the community now.
Yeah. So since we're mentioning these are young adults with severe autism, will any of them be working? I mean, is there a work component?
Yeah, many people who we work with do have paying jobs in the community. Many do volunteer work, but they all will have active days. So, again, we're not really even sure who the people will be who will be living in the site yet. But based on what we're expecting, some may attend what's called day programs in the community. Some may be served from the home and going out doing community activities, you know, volunteering, doing things like
that. How does this compare, and talking about your services, how does this compare to the other homes that you work with in the state?
We think it'll be really similar because our homes are already very community integrated and involved, and we have a lot of community membership. But it'll be different as well because there'll be more people living on the same campus. There's more resources. One good thing too, so there'll be 40 staff positions in Orleans. So we'll be having, you know, sort of a lot of jobs up opening.
I was going to say, you're looking.
We are looking. Yeah, we've hired several people already, but we're looking for good people now. If interested, you could go to our website, needsctr.org. You can apply through there.
And don't worry, we'll have that up on our website.
Excellent,
too.
Excellent.
So there's, as you know, a lack of workforce housing is an issue in our region. So do you anticipate that being a problem for some of the folks?
Yeah, we know it's a challenge for people, but to date, we've actually been pretty successful. We've hired a number of people already, even though we haven't started providing services yet. Though we did open a home in Marston's Mills, because we're really committed to being on the Cape and being a resource here on the Cape. And that home is already fully staffed, and we'll be serving four ladies there. And that's been open for about the past month and a half, and it's been going really well.
Right. What about health services, both behavioral and physical? How does that work?
So for behavioral health services, we have clinicians on site. They're called board-certified behavior analysts. It's sort of the trademark training for people working with people with autism, and it's based on positive behavioral interventions. So we have a number of people who are board certified behavior analysts. Most of our staff would be, a good portion of our staff would be bachelor's level with a degree in like psychology or sociology, but we provide a ton of training to people and a lot of on-the-job training. So in terms of those resources, those will be in-house. But in terms of medical services, we would be just accessing doctors in the local community. We have an excellent consulting psychiatrist. His name is Mark Hauser. He specialized in working with people with autism and developmental disabilities for his whole career. Mm. And we're lucky enough to have him consulting with us, and he's state-of-the-art in terms of psychiatric services.
Jim talked about the kind of stuff that they're going to be doing, and I'll sort of personalize the community thing a little bit that Jim was talking about. My son Alexander, he's 31 years old. He has become an incredibly social person. Even though he doesn't speak, he does have a few key words, and one of them is hi. And Allie will say hi to everybody, and he will say hi to you until you say
hi back.
Yeah. He doesn't take any prisoners when it comes to that. And he lives in a group home right now in Sandwich. He's pretty isolated there. There's a few really great guys that work there, staff people. I can't just say enough for these few guys. But but they're just not really integrated in the community the way Jim's programs operate and the way we want Cape Cod Village to operate. But I am so encouraged. I take Allie out at least once a week during the week, and then he comes home most weekends for part of the weekend. People in the community have just grabbed onto him, and he grabs onto them. The stores that we go into, the different sites, people all know him now. Mm. Hey, you guys, how are you doing? We stop at a McDonald's over by the bridge. And the gal who manages it, she's, I haven't seen you guys in a couple of weeks. Where have you been? Mm-hmm. So that is such a change from the way things used to be. And I can't tell you how much that warms my heart and what it does for a sense of security that I know that Allie's going to be living in a safe environment, an accepting and welcoming environment. And he will have a home. Because this is the plan. He will have a home for the rest of his life.
So is he the first resident or hope to be the first resident?
That hasn't been decided yet, but we're hopeful.
Hoping. Keeping our fingers crossed. Yeah. So how does Alexander feel about this? Does he understand what Cape Cod Village is?
Oh, he
does. Yeah.
I take him up to the site since they've been starting the building back in February. I'll take him to the site probably every few weeks. And at first he didn't quite get it because it was a big empty site.
Right.
But boy, once the building started going up, he got it. And this is a sign for friends.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talk to him and I say, Allie, what about Cape Cod Village? And this is radio, so you guys can't see this. But he has this sign for excited where he puts his hands up and he gets a big smile. And then he makes the sign for friends. He's gonna be living with his friends.
Yeah, that's so great.
Yeah, one of the things Bob mentioned is the way that the community is so much more welcoming these days. That's often a great natural connection for us to get a job for a person. Mm-hmm. So you go into the same pizza shop every week and they develop a relationship. We've had people end up getting jobs as a result of that and end up being long-standing great employees for the workers, because our guys tend to be really good employees.
So for listeners who might have a child with autism, what advice do you give them about planning for the future? Are there things they can be doing while their child is still young or in school that will help smooth that transition? As we said, they get services until age 22 and then boom, it all ends.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing is to advocate for your child as early as possible. Early detection of autism is really key, because the younger the child is when they're diagnosed, the more services that can be offered, the more improvements that can be made. We work primarily with adults, but we also work with children as well. But most school systems are very familiar with people with autism these days. Most schools have people with autism within them. And it's really advocating for your child, making sure they're getting what they're entitled to. If your child has a disability, they're entitled to certain services. So sometimes parents may not be aware of those. So it's a matter of seeking those resources out. But the needs change as you go through. So when you're an adolescent, you really want to make sure that you've contacted your local DDS area office, developmental services office, because you want them to know who you are and that your child has a disability. So that the worst thing that can happen is your child is receiving children's services and they unexpectedly turn 22. Like, people have forgotten that they're going to turn 22 and they graduate that day and they don't have something lined up. So,
yeah. And I should say a lot of the, you know, if your child's in a special education classroom, those teachers are such a wealth of information and a great resource.
Right.
And as you all know, and I think many listeners, I have a daughter who is developmentally delayed, and her teacher really encouraged us when she was 17 to apply with DDS and make sure she qualified for services. And I think that would have been a much harder thing to do had we waited till she was in her
20s. It is much harder after turning 22, for sure. Yeah. So it's great that they did that for you.
So.
Jim used the right word, the big word, and that's advocacy. Mm-hmm. It's all about advocacy. So we've had a large number of parents contact us at Cape Cod Village saying, hey, we've heard about your project. How can we do something like your project?
Yeah.
And it's a long road, but there's a lot people can do, and you have to advocate. When Allie was very, very young, I decided the best way for me to help him was to advocate for him. And frankly, what I did was I ran for the Nauset Regional School Committee, and I spent, I think it was about 18 years on the Regional School Committee advocating for my main purpose was to advocate for people with special needs.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So get out there and advocate,
parents. We'll post links with more information about Cape Cod Village at our website, capeandislands.org, and we'll put a link up to you, too, as well, Jim.
Great,
Bob Jones,
you.
Co-founder of Cape Cod Village, and Jim Sperry from Needs. Thank you. Thanks for, and congratulations on getting this project off the ground.
You're welcome.
We're very
Thanks,
excited.
Mindy.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good to see you again.
You too.